good to see you today, and welcome to Youth Sunday. Well, many of you know that we had a special event this weekend, a two-day event, our community days, and I wanted to just thank everybody that was involved in putting that on. In fact, the cleanup crew was so good at this this event that we did that you may not have even noticed. If you didn't know about our community weekend event, you might not have noticed it because they did such a good job cleaning up afterwards, except for a couple of telltale signs. But you had to look really hard. For one thing, there's a couple of coolers out there by the coat area. So if you donated a cooler, then, hey, it's back there. You didn't sell it in the rummage sale. So feel free to pick that up today after the service. And there's another one. Oh, the 40 by 20-foot tent that you walked in on your way in. That probably gave it away that something was going on this weekend, right? Well, it was raining too hard last night, so we had to leave it up there. And that's all right, because if it starts raining again here on our way out, you'll have a little more area of dryness outside. So that's nice. Well, I do want to thank everybody that worked on it, but I also want to read to you just a couple of things, just a highlight. I think when God does something great, we should take a minute and be thankful and celebrate it. And so these are some of the things that happened that weekend, this weekend. First of all, besides everybody doing great work, coming out here early, leaving late, people coming and going, tons of orange, I'm on the team, Stony Creek shirts I saw all weekend. That was great. I want you to know some of the things we did. We served 250 meals to the community and to people from the church. And so this is great. People from our community came out. Some people came on Friday and then came back again on Saturday. So we got to have two very positive points of contact with folks. We also, after we paid the bills for the big bounce house we had in here and the tent and tables and chairs, the food, that kind of stuff, we cleared $1,200 for youth ministry at the event. Isn't that cool? Yeah. That's after paying the bills. That's more than last year. And last year, the weather was stellar. This year, we were fighting that rain both days. Things in, things out, things in, things out. Drying off every item on the table. Almost everything sold at the rummage sale could also be a great water collector, is what we learned. Tons of cups and bowls and all kinds of vases and things. So that rain gave us some trouble, but I just thank the positive attitudes of so many people that were helping out. We also did, one of the things I really want to highlight, is we handed out 125 of these flyers to people in our community, people in our neighborhood. The flyer doesn't look that special except for the sweet logo there, but on the back is what's even more important. It's an invite to our 11 o'clock service. In general, it kind of explains what our style is like so people can get used to, you know, get an idea of what our church is like, but also the particular messages that are going to be happening in June. And by the way, there are a stack of these on the information booth that you can grab. If you want to grab a stack to hand out to your friends, I printed several hundred. We handed out 125 of these, which means 125 homes in our community were invited to come out to church to hear, for example, next Sunday, why the Bible and not some other books. It's going to be evidence for the Bible actually being God's written word to us. Why one way and not many? You know, people believe that there might be many roads leading to heaven. Jesus said, I am the only one. We're going to talk about that today, actually, in our message. And there's also on Father's Day, we've got the what Randy was telling us about there, the old guy, was telling us about. I did that for Mary. I had to sit next to her during the. I just found myself confessing and apologizing and repenting. It was. we've got, that won't be on the Facebook version. I'm taking it off before I put it out there. All right. But we've got the evidence, the historical evidence for the risen Jesus. And we've got a top expert coming in to talk about it in person, Gary Habermas. So we've invited people out to that. And also the last week we have, missionary Aaron Wentz. He's a great speaker. We've had him here before. He's one of our missionaries we've supported for a long, long time, many years. And he's going to be coming in because he's had a lot of interaction with Muslims on college campuses. He's going to share his experience there and answer the question, why Jesus, not Muhammad? And so all of these things are great for us to be inviting people, but I'm so glad, I'm thankful that our church worked hard to show God's love. I want to thank the guys who manned the bounce house and all the bands, the food prep, all the cleaning crew and people who organized, people who just came and talked to people and were showing we're a friendly church, indoors and outdoors. I just really love you guys and appreciate you guys. Well, let's dig in now into business, right? This is week 4. You want to get your outline out of your program, get your Bible out, and or your phone if you use that for looking up scripture passages. Get that outline out because we're going to take some notes as we go along. Today is the last session in our 4-part series, Why Church? And I want to do a very quick review of what we've been talking about so far. In part 1, we discovered that the church is a family. Church is a family, and every Christ follower is called to be a part of God's family, to be plugged in for encouragement and support, and because each of us has something to contribute to the family, something to offer. We also learned in part 2 that the church is a school. And here at school, we learn how to live the way our Creator intended us to live. We learned that this curriculum in this school is interactive. You can't get this just by podcast alone, because it takes, you know, working together and being together to be involved in and growing in this curriculum that Jesus himself has set up. We learned in part 3 that the church is an army, that there really is a supernatural enemy, the devil, and he really does want to drag us down with him and keep us in our sin. Jesus came in 2,000 years ago and invaded and began ransacking the devil's territory. And he has called the church to continue that, and we continue it together. We're not an army of one. We're an army of all of us together working there. And now today, we're discovering that the church is also a hospital. It's a hospital. And so the answer, the main idea today, or the answer to the question, why church, that I'd like you to write down today, is this. Because we are all, we are Jesus' universal healthcare agents. I'm not talking about Obamacare, all right? So however you feel about that, don't worry about it. I'm talking about Jesus' care, okay? And so we are Jesus' universal healthcare agents. Write that down. That is the why, the answer to why church today. And so why sign up for that, for what Jesus is talking about? Why sign up and be part of this universal healthcare plan that God has for us? Well, we're going to look at 3 reasons today. 3 reasons, and I'm continuing my allusions to Obamacare, so I hope that you're all right with that, because if you're not, tough. But 3 reasons to sign up for healthcare.God, all right? 3 reasons to sign up at healthcare.God. And the first one on your outline is that Jesus is our chief of medicine. Jesus is our chief of medicine. A couple of sessions ago, Randy was talking about how Jesus' public ministry was running on a platform of 2 things, education and healthcare. That's what Jesus did. Everywhere he went, he was doing 2 things. He was teaching about God's family, God's kingdom, what it means to be a part of God's advancing kingdom, a part of God's family. And the other thing he was doing was healing people, providing health care, healing physical, healing them mental issues, emotional issues, physical issues, even social issues. It was teaching and providing health care. And we're going to look at one of those occasions here in Mark chapter 2. You want to open up the Bible to Mark chapter 2. And we're going to begin in verse 1 and read through this. And you can help me out when we get to the yellow print, all right? And it's going to be a little while, but when we get there, jump in, all right? Let's read the whole passage together, and then we're going to talk about it here. All right, it says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door of the home that he was in. And he preached the word to them. See, there's the teaching. It says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through, and then they lowered the mat that the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Good question. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? Which is easier to say? But I want you to know," Jesus says, "that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And so he got up, he took his mat. This paralyzed guy got up, a miracle. He got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." That's right. No one has ever seen anything like Jesus. Two healings take place in this man's life. One is spiritual, and one is physical. Now, the spiritual healing, the forgiving of this man's sins that Jesus pronounced in front of all these people, is the most important healing. It's the most impressive healing. But Jesus continues his work in this man's life when he performs the physical healing. And he does this in front of all the people in this miraculous way. All right, this isn't, you know, going through a long, extensive rehab therapy. No, he speaks to him, and the man is healed. He does it in this miraculous way to prove that he, in fact, has the authority to perform the greater healing, the forgiveness of this man's sins. But, as I made a little comment there, and you noted too, I think, some of you, the teachers of the law, they had a good point. Who is this guy to claim to have the authority to forgive sin? That is a good question. I tried to think of an analogy, and this is the best I could come up with. Suppose Randy got enraged at the old guy comment that I allowed the teens to make against him. And so after the service today, he just started beating me up mercilessly. I mean, I end up in the hospital, okay?
Don't worry, I'll help
you. Mary's got my back. In this imaginary world where Randy could take me, he's beat me up, and he sent me to the hospital. Now I do need to watch it. Look, I'm going to dial it back right now. I've corrected course. Yeah. All right, well, good. You guys are going to know what to do when that happens after this analogy. I'm in the hospital. Now, suppose some of you, you're concerned for me. You want to come and see me. So you visit me in the hospital, and you say, "Chris, we're glad that, you know, you're getting your wounds tended to. We want to let you know Randy talked with us, and he asked us for forgiveness, and we just want you to know, Chris, that we have completely forgiven him for beating the snot out of you." All right? How do you think I might react sitting in my hospital bed having been beat up by this man when you have found the kindness in your heart to forgive him? Get out of my hospital room. What? Why hasn't he come to me? I'm the offended party. Why hasn't he asked me for forgiveness? I'm the one that's lying here in the hospital bed. I'm glad he cleared things up with you guys. But he needs to come to me. I'm the one that he hurt. I'm the offended party. Well, with God, when it comes to our sin, we do sin against each other. Certainly we do that. We hurt ourselves. We hurt each other with our sin in our lives. But the ultimate offended party is God. He is our creator, and all of our sin separates us from him. All of our sin is an offense directly to him. And so at the end of the day, he is the only one who is truly able to forgive us of our sin, to deal with our sin, to heal us of our sin. He's our creator, and he's the ultimate offended party when it comes to our sin. And so when Jesus performs this physical healing on the man, he's answering their question. He's giving them concrete evidence to say, I can forgive sins because I am God. I am the offended party, and this is the proof. I'm defying the laws of nature to show you my power over everything and my authority. He's answered their question by declaring who he is, and that he does have the authority to forgive. Forgiving and healing us from our sin is the reason Jesus came to earth. The reason he came to dwell among us was to deal with our sin, to be able to heal us and forgive us. Just a few verses later, after the passage we read, Jesus is hanging out with some of the seedier folks in the neighborhood. And there are some people that are criticizing Jesus. Later in the chapter in Mark 2:17, if you have your Bible, you could flip there. They criticize Jesus for spending too much time with the bad people, all right, the sinners. And Jesus says, it's recorded there in Mark 2:17, it says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, help me out, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus has come to heal the sick. And our greatest disease is that which separates us from God. It's our sin. When Jesus says he's come to heal the sick and the sinner, he is claiming his title as great physician, as chief of medicine, who has come to deal with the root cause of all sickness, of all problems. Jesus is the chief of medicine over every Christian church. He's the boss. He has the authority. He and he alone. Why go to church? Because the one with the authority to forgive us our sins and to heal us is here and in charge over this church, in every Christian church around the world. And so what's the application for those of us that are attending church regularly? You're here. You're like, I'm already here. Point done, right? Point one, taken care of. Well, let's have an application for us. And that is that we need to follow our chief of medicine in his mission to heal the sick and the sinner, to reach out to them. I don't have a blank for that on your outline, but that's worth making a little note of the point. Follow your chief in his mission to heal the sick and the sinner, if he is indeed your chief of medicine here at this hospital. And that leads us to our second point as we're moving along here. Our second point to sign up for healthcare.god is this: the church dispenses the only cure. When I think of the church in medical terms, as I'm just praying and thinking through this week, preparing for the message, it brought to mind a story of a doctor who is seeing a patient with a chronic cough. This cough just won't go away. And so he prescribes some antibiotics, and he tells him, you know, to use some Robitussin to help treat some of the symptoms of the cough. And so the patient does this, but it doesn't work. All right, so the course of the antibiotics goes on 10 days or whatever. It doesn't work. He comes back, and so the doctor orders some more tests on this guy and discovers the one thing that nobody hopes the doctor ever discovers. He has lung cancer. He has lung cancer. Well, it's disappointing news. It's hard to hear. It's tough to hear. To be that doctor to have to tell the person is hard. But that's the root of the problem. That's what needs to be dealt with. And now that it's discovered, the doctor and the patient understand this is the real problem. Treatment can begin real treatment. We see the symptoms of the real problem all around us in this world, like the cough. It's the real problem is sin. It's our rebellion against God. That's the cancer that's growing underneath all of it. See, it started with Adam and Eve, and it continues with us. We've turned away from God. We've decided to be our own boss. It began with our great-great-grandparents in the garden, and it continues in our lives with our thoughts, our actions, our deeds, this rebellion that separates us from God. And it's led to all these symptoms, the pain, the suffering, the way we treat ourselves, the way we treat each other. And all the pains and sicknesses are all a result. It's a degeneration from the original disease. And here's the thing. In this world, we try to treat the symptoms. We try to treat the symptoms with positive thinking or religious duty or pills or diet and exercise or essential oils or self-help books or many. There's all kinds of treatments for different sicknesses and symptoms that come from the root. But it's all Robitussin. It's all Robitussin soothing the cough while the cancer just keeps growing underneath. But our chief of medicine, when he came, he dealt with the root. He dealt with the cancer. The apostle Peter quotes a prophecy about Jesus in 2 Peter chapter 2. He puts it like this. This is from Isaiah. He's quoting it and showing that, this applies to Jesus. Talking in some medical terms here about how Jesus dealt with sin. He says, he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Help me out. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus isn't just the chief of medicine. He is the cure. He is the very cure. The Gospels, all through them, the entire New Testament teaches that Jesus suffered the penalty for our sins, separated us from God, and the penalty of us walking away from him is that now we're far from God. And that leads to the pain, the suffering, the hurt, the consequences of our sin. It starts here on earth and it extends into eternity. But Jesus took that penalty on the cross, and by doing that, by suffering in our place, he got to the root of our sickness so it could be completely and finally dealt with. The New Testament also teaches this. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is only one cure to the root of the problem. Jesus did it, and he is the only one who was able to and the only one who did it. Jesus himself claimed this. I'm going to keep piling this on you today. Jesus himself said in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Help me out. No one comes to the Father except through me. He and he alone is our cure. But just as Jesus alone had the authority to forgive that man's sins that was lowered down in front of him, just as Jesus alone has the authority, he himself had the authority to set up his church and to tell us to go out and bring this message. He's entrusted it to us alone. The apostle Paul put it like this. He said, this is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the foundation of truth. This is who we've been established to be. What does that mean? Well, what does a pillar do? What does a foundation do? It holds something up, right? Some people have used this text wrongly to say if it's said in church, then it's absolutely correct. You know, I can make mistakes, but this isn't what this is saying. This is saying the church holds up the cure. The church holds up the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We and we alone in the church have been entrusted with the only cure. What if there was a doctor who is driven by his love for his daughter with leukemia to search for a cure? And in his search, he discovers it. he discovers the ultimate final cure for leukemia. His daughter is fully healed from her disease. But imagine he hid the cure for himself. He didn't share it with anybody. He just made the greatest discovery in recent history. It would save thousands. But he keeps it to himself. This would be like a Christian or like a church that just sat on the gospel message, the life-saving message of Jesus. We have the very cure that the whole world needs, and it's the only one, and we're the ones that have been entrusted to dispense that cure. This news shouldn't make us feel bad or guilty for those times that we haven't shared our faith. It should encourage us to do it. We should be excited. This is good news. This is the answer. This is the answer to the root of the problem. And so we shouldn't feel like, oh, I feel Chris is beating me and making me feel bad today for not sharing my. No, we should be encouraged to go out and tell people, because what we've got is the message. It's the answer to everything. That's no exaggeration. If you have air in your lungs, I said this at the earlier service, if you have air in your lungs, God's keeping you alive because you need to be dispensing the cure. And we do that together. So why church? Because we get cured here because of our relationship with Jesus, and we get to spread it. What's the application to this? Well, seize opportunities to share the cure. Consider writing that down in some of the space there on your outline. We have many great opportunities this summer to share the cure with people. We talked about that flyer. We talked about Gary coming. Use that flyer back there on the information booth to share opportunities with people to come in and hear the life-saving message of the gospel. Don't miss these opportunities, all right? They start next week, these four particular messages. We've also got other opportunities like the end of school year bash that you saw the announcement about. How many cool things are going on at that thing? I don't know how Jody got a police car, a fire engine, a magician, some bounce houses, a dunk tank. I mean, this is going to be fantastic. Now, this is a social event, but it's an opportunity for us to bring families in that don't go to church, for them to come to church and meet our friends here and our family here. And then, hopefully, they'll hear there about Gary Habermas coming the next morning, and they'll come out and check it out. They'll hear that life-saving message. Seize those opportunities. All right, let's look at the third reason to sign up for healthcare.God. Number three on your outline there, the cured treats symptoms with greatest success. The truly cured, when the root of our sin, the root of our problem, which is sin, has been dealt with, we are in a position to treat the other symptoms now with the greatest success. To keep the medical analogy going, once a doctor has dealt with the disease, then now he can also treat the symptoms. Now the Robitussin is good to help with the cough, but we're getting to the root of the cancer, you know, and dealing with that. Now we can do that. Just as Jesus got to the root of the problem in that man's life as he's lowered down, your sins are forgiven, he also treated his physical ailment. He was also meeting that. And Jesus did that over and over again all through the Gospels. He got to the root of the problem, but he also treated the physical problems, whether it was in a healing or it was lifting up somebody who was downcast or befriending somebody who's an outcast. In all kinds of different ways, Jesus met people's their physical needs, their emotional needs, their mental needs as well, because Jesus is concerned about all of us. He wants to save us from the consequence of our sin, draw us into our family, and he wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healed through and through, and he does offer that. But here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. Jesus said to his church, he said, we're going to go out after his earthly ministry had wrapped up. He said, we're going to go out and do even greater things than he did. The church is going to do this. Look at this. In John 14, here's what Jesus told us. He said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, help me out, will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Even great. Does that actually mean miracles? Yes. Yeah, it does. That is part of it. That's a big part of it. There's testimony here at Stony Creek Church of people that we have prayed for that have been healed, whether it's physical healing, an emotional healing, a relational healing. We have seen real, miraculous answer to prayer here in our own church. I could give you some examples of that, but I'm going to talk to you about somebody you've never met before instead. Somebody only Randy has met. His name is Craig Keener. This is Dr. Craig Keener, one of the sharper minds today in New Testament studies. And some years back, this man began writing a giant commentary on the book of Acts, multi-volumes, okay? And as he's going through there, he had a footnote. He's looking at the miracles that were being performed by the first generation church in Acts. And so he started this footnote to compare these kinds of healings that were going on in Acts with modern day miracles, things that have been documented from around the world and even verified in contemporary studies. And as he's doing his research, this footnote that he was writing for this commentary just kept growing and growing and growing. And so finally, Dr. Keener had to put his commentary on Acts aside for a little bit, and he produced not one, but two volumes of documented, bona fide miracles that are taking place around the world, showing how they mirror a lot of the things that we saw in Jesus' ministry and in the ministry of Acts. And this guy, Dr. Keener, he's not, you know, these aren't just crackpot accounts that he's pulling together. Anybody who said they saw, you know, Jesus' face with a stain on a wall that was really just mold and mildew growing and people touched it and felt kind of better about their lives. You know, no. This is documented stuff. His wife is a medical doctor, and so he's not out of touch from that field. And he is truly a man who's interested in reliable information. He wanted to, you know, he doesn't want this to be picked apart. And so he did his research on this, worth checking out. Jesus said, we're going to go out and we're going to do greater things. But it doesn't stop there. I want to show you a little video clip. This is from a summit on worldwide medical relief. And mega church pastor, social activist Rick Warren, the guy who did the purpose-driven everything, he addresses the issue of the distribution of medical treatment, especially to third world countries. And I want to just take, it's just a couple of minutes, and I want you to hear his words on how the church is helping heal people around the world, all right? So let's take a look at that video clip there.
Most people have a faith. And if you want to talk about distribution, you have to use faith communities. I could take you to 10 million villages around the world, they don't even have a church. In much of the world, the church is the only social sector outside of town. And even if we have all the meds for TB, AIDS, HIV, malaria, and all the other, the issue of
Yeah. I saw that on Facebook, and I thought, I'm going to use that at some point in my career. And then it came up like the next week, so that's how God works, right? The church indeed has been the world's hospital for two millennia. The church invented the idea of the hospital, because before that, this was in a time when just the elite had doctors around them to take care of them. But the church said, no, we need to help all people, the needy, the poor, like Jesus taught us to reach out to people with God's love in tangible ways and bring them physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, and social healing. Jesus wants us to have real, to truly be whole. Today, still, most churches are Christ-centered churches, established by the church, even continue to be run with Christ-centered influence. There's ones in our area, St. Joe's, St. Jude, just to name some notable ones around us. And the local church, us here at Stony, and other churches around, we are also a place where God wants the hurting and the sick to come in to receive care. We're going to do and have been doing even more than Jesus did during his earthly ministry. That's his own words. I know it sounds really touchy to say that. But Jesus said we would do more than him. And we can only do that together. We can only do that together. This is the place. Are you hurting? Are you sick? Are you troubled? You're in the right spot. You are welcome here at Stony Creek Church. This is where you will be loved, and you can find the care and the relief for the things you're struggling with in your life. And so the application to this, that we're the best at treating the symptoms, we have been for thousands of years, the application for us is to seize opportunities to treat symptoms. Write that down. If you see a friend that is hurting, a friend that needs help, a friend that is sick, drop what you're doing and pray for that person. Who knows? They may be healed right then and there. God does that. He has done it. We've seen it. It's documented over there in those books. I'm sure many of you have seen that in your life. But also, do tangible things to help people. Do tangible things to be the God's hospital. We have an opportunity to do this coming up in August together, a big opportunity, and that's Life Remodeled. You heard a little bit about that last week in the announcements. I wanted to reiterate it this week. We're going to be joining thousands in lifting up a neighborhood, Osborne, the neighborhood there, with some construction projects, beautification projects, and some other areas that need loving attention. You can sign up to be a part of this with lots of us that are going to be going out and doing this by going to liferemodeled.com. Liferemodeled.com. You want to write that down if you're like, oh, I want to do that, but I forgot what that website was. You know you're going to do that later, so write that down. This is what you'll find here. If you go there, you can click to volunteer. It's going on all week. The dates I should have written down here, but they're there you go. They're also at the website. You can sign up for as little or as much as you want, but here's what I'd like you to do. The one note I want to make, when you go to sign up, show the next slide there, John. You want to indicate that you're from Stony Creek Church. That's what I've written here. I should have Randy's Darth Vader laser pointer to my lightsaber. But write that you're affiliated with the following organization, Stony Creek Church. That way we can get organized together and go out and show God's love to a community in a tangible way. This is one big way, but every week at church, just to be a loving church, a place that is reaching out to people with God's love in tangible ways. That is how we apply the fact that we treat the symptoms of sin, the hurts, the sickness, the best, because we've got God on our side leading the charge. Why church? The answer is because we are Jesus' universal healthcare agents. I'm going to have the band come up here. We're going to do our offering in just a moment. As they're preparing for that, look at your outline. Don't put it away. You already put it away. Take it back out. I do that too, right? You write the last thing, and then, you know, you hear this throughout the church. Like after the last point, and it's everybody, okay, got all the information. Look at this outline, guys. Jesus is our chief of medicine. He has the authority to forgive our sins, when we put our trust in Him as Lord and Savior and to heal our sickness. He's passed on that responsibility and honor, really, to the church. We dispense the only cure that the world needs desperately. And the cured, those that have trusted in Christ, we are in a position to be able to deal with the other symptoms of sin in people's lives the best. We do it better together. That's been the key of this whole series, is that why church? Because you can't just be part of what God is doing in this world by yourself, all right? You got to be part of God's family. You got to be part of His school. You got to be part of His army. You got to be part of His hospital, plugged in, all right? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for bringing us here together. I thank You for the opportunity we had to reach out to our community with the free lunch and the fun that we had there. I pray it wouldn't stop there, that this would be just who we are, that we are going around like Jesus did to teach the truth about Your kingdom and to heal people where we are able to do so. God, as we give You this offering, we do pray that You would bless it, that You would use it to advance Your kingdom. Do Your will with every cent that comes in. May it be an act of worship to You from us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.